Session number 16711. It's Fred Walsh, Reel 2.
Mr. Welsh, Reel 2. You said that when you got to Brunsworth on that very first day, Mr. Welsh, that you were pushed here, there and everywhere. What were they doing with you?
Well, there were so many coming in from all parts that forever someone was arriving, so your particulars were taken and you were pushed to the side and you hung about until I'm sure it was right in the bottom and it was a cold castle and we just sat against the walls and we were given some sort of meat. It was just food. It was just bread and something, probably bread and cheese. And it took so long that we finally were given our uniforms, just you wanted the size of your boots. That's the only thing that you got that was supposed to be of your size. The other, you were either big, little, or it didn't fit. And this went on till, I say, about 9 o'clock at night. They started bundling you into platoons, and I was put on a wagon. And 11 o'clock at night, we went along the road to Willington, the little village of Willington. And we were put to bed there, just literally got a palliasse full of straw and laid on the bed in this hall. And can't remember going to sleep, I don't suppose we did, on the floor. No heating. And next morning, woken at Rivalli, 6 o'clock, and had to get a wash in fire buckets. About 33 of us, I think it was 33 in a platoon in those days. And then the next morning we were introduced to our sergeant, corporal and lance corporal who were to train us for the first initial 7 weeks.
There must have been some grumbling in those first few hours.
Well, one or two. Any platoon in any army has the same group of people in. The quiet guy, the noisy guy, the barracoon lawyer, the one that knows how to do everything. And I suppose there started to be a tendency that you listen to one guy that was supposed to know it. And eventually, as in all things, you arrived in your own group. There was three of us, for instance, who stuck together for the 16 weeks we had of training.
Did you stay, whilst you were at Wellington, did you stay in that same hall?
Always in the same hall, but you had to walk, and I always remember through the snow, to the welfare hall, which was the dining room. And that was a thing you'll never forget, your first army meals. What they were, I don't know. But you'll never forget those. And you didn't eat them till you got hungry, and then you ate them. And the first few weeks of training was you got a rifle. You were taught about a rifle, how valuable it was to you. That's the only friend you have in the army is your rifle. And you had to clean it. You had to get it ready for their inspection, for all it was come out of the armory, and they were rather dirty and very greasy, and they were to clean.
How did you clean them?
You had to get a duster to clean them. And in the old Lee Enfield rifle, in the butt, was a brass cup which lifted up, and inside there was the pull through. That was a piece of brass with a string on, which you dropped down the barrel of your rifle and cleaned it with a piece of cloth called 4x2. That all it was called 4x2 for was the size of it. 2 inches wide, 4 inches long. That cleaned your barrel, but you didn't get enough, so you had to share it, and it was as black as the rifle itself. And odd ones, and also in this pack, there was a little capsule which had oil in, rifle oil. Because the one of the things, like your army number, they stick in your mind. Your rifle bolt was dry cleaned and slightly oiled. This was the instruction drummed into you from day one. You learned how to do elementary drills, slope arms, port arms, present arms, how to carry a rifle, how to sling it to carry it. You learned how to do little route marches. And physically, you were taught to be fitter than when you came in. You did a lot of PT. For instance, on a Saturday, you had to do a cross-country run on a Saturday morning, which was usually around Willington Pit Heaps. And if you weren't back in a certain time, you didn't get a weekend pass. Because they, I suppose, food-wise, they like to get rid of everybody on a weekend and came home. But I couldn't come home because I didn't have a full uniform. I couldn't get a hat. So you weren't allowed in the streets unless you properly dressed. King's regulations.
Did you do your drilling and that in the streets of Wellington?
We did ours outside the hall when it was dry, but the records, weather records will tell you that it was a very bad winter and most of ours was put done inside.
When you were outside with your NCOs, as you say, in the language, that must have been a bit of an eye-opener.
That was a shock to me, the way they treat you, the way... You see, it's like all in life. We can't all learn quickly. So the army in those days always used to say, you work with the slowest and the lowest. So some poor guy that couldn't present arms. We were all waiting of this man catching up with us. And because he couldn't do it, he was pilloried by the corporal, especially. Little wasted to me, I don't know, you know. And I couldn't remember any names. Never, to be quite honest, I never had... I think I talked once to the corporal, other than receiving orders. And that was the last... 2 or 3 days when we knew we were going to Ushimoa. And this corporal come in and he said, I would like a word with you lads before you go. And it's usual for what the sergeant's doing for you that you have a collection for them. And I think that would be the first time I heard my voice in the hall. And I said, well, you're getting nothing off me, none of you three, I said. And that's all I said. And it echoed round the room, and that would be the first time you never got... They used to buy him watches, and, you know, you get a watch for half a crown in those days. But he would resell them. And the only person that ever treated you with any sort of respect, I don't know his name, was a gentleman, and strangely enough, he was the Sergeant Major who took the... CO's parade, as we know them, on a Saturday morning, inspected on a Saturday morning. But otherwise, it was best forgotten, Willington.
Did you see any officers? Were they contacted
with? No, we didn't have a platoon officer. They were all stationed at Bransford Castle.
You mentioned the army cruisers.
Yes.
What kind of food were you getting? Again, at Willington.
Well, you got a breakfast. It would be either egg and bacon or egg and sausage or sausage and bacon, and always porridge. The thing I will admit about when I was in the forces with army food, The only people you could blame were cooks who were working under stress. But the idea of the food was really good. You got a good two-course breakfast, you got a two-course lunch, and you got jam, cheese, or kipper or something for tea. And I would never have been so fit as I was then when I got into it. I mean, my wife will vouch for this. I'm rather a quick person to settle down, and I can take whatever they throw at us, and it doesn't worry us. And the sergeant I shout about, I soon found out they were just shouting. That was their job. So being a tall fella, I could look over their heads when they were shouting at me. So I learned to just let this bounce off, and fortunately I was never in any sort of trouble with that time.
What time did your day start?
Well, reveille at 6, and you finish your parades about, went up for your tea at 4, and then you maybe have to do what they call a fire picket. There wasn't very few guards because there was no officers' headquarters to guard. That was all at Bransford.
Could half past six in the day?
Half past four.
When you started in the morning?
Oh, 6 o'clock Revalley.
You obviously woke, and what were your initial tasks before you...
Oh, you had to fold every blanket as square as what the sergeant wanted, which was never good enough. You had to clean the barrack room, you had to clean your rifle, and then you went for your breakfast. Marched up, as I say, Willington Main Street, with your mess tin in your hand and your knife and fork. Because there were no plates, it was all mess tin.
Well, what time would be breakfast?
Oh, 8 o'clock, I would say, I think, 8 o'clock.
After breakfast, what might you be doing?
Well, there would be a parade. There would either be arms drill, or there would be Bren gun lesson, because the Bren gun was, you had to learn to strip it and rebuild it, fire it, and learn all that. And you only had one Bren gun in the lot, so you got it in your turn. Your sections got them in the turns. And an odd route march, we used to walk from Willington to what they call the Bats at Bishop Auckland, through Bishop Auckland Main Street, down over the Viaduct Bridge, and back through, was it Toronto it's called up there, and back into Willington.
How far would that be?
About 4 miles then, because a little story. I remember we stopped at the top of the bank before we went down over the weir, for a 10-minute break. And an old lady came out of a dairy with a bucket of milk, a glass apiece. Because some lads had never walked in their lives, first time in army boots, and it was a task to do it. And she said to the sergeant, I've brought them the bucket of milk. Will you let them have a drink? He says, they don't get any milk here. He says, the soldiers, these. Using very strong language, she said, well, if they don't get it, it's poured over you. And we all got a little drink of milk off this old lady. Just little stories you remember. Of course, that was great for us against our sergeant.
What might you be carrying with you?
Then we just had the rifle. We weren't in full pack or anything like that. Just, as I say, we had lads from Sunderland, we had lads from Gateshead who were, I don't know, they lived on trams, you know, where I walked a lot, the marching. Fortunately, the marches for me were a day out. They were a rest for me. I used to love the route marches. They were a rest for me. But I remember one poor little lad from Sunderland. He did eventually get discharged. He was so small and he couldn't keep up with you, you know. these boots were feet like plate slabs of meat, and he eventually got his wasn't big enough to be a soldier, and he was a good soldier. Funny enough, he had the cleanest rifle in the platoon, and that was a thing. Like that was the only thing we had to gauge ourselves by, the quality of your equipment. You cleaning, and you had to learn to clean these big army boots, polish them, and spit and polish, as we called it.
These were ammunition boots, as they called them.
Yes, the big army boots, yes.
When you cleaned your army boots, which you mentioned, when you cleaned your army boots, did you have to clean the soles and the studs as well?
We didn't, no. You had to have a bright toe cap.
And how did you get that?
A hot spoon off a candle, or if you could get it, I think it was either methylated spirits or turpentine, which helped. But first you had to burnish it with this hot spoon to bring the grease out. And then, the thing I could never do, I was never in the army, did I be the best man on guard and get the stick. I could never reach that standard.
Actually polishing it, is there a method of polishing it?
Oh yeah. Middle finger, spit on it and on the cloth, put it in your black boot polish, and go round and round and round in little circles. And this could take weeks, not days, weeks before you had a pair of boots. And you only had the one pair, so the days failed work, they were as black as ever.
And as you say, of course, for some people particularly, they would be very difficult to get used to.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, the marching was a problem too. I would say more than it wasn't. More people had trouble marching than didn't.
When you run a route march of 4 miles or whatever, obviously then some people must have got so bad with their feet they dropped out.
No, you weren't allowed to drop out. I never knew anybody drop
they
out. Yes, it was only 4 miles.
Were your feet inspected when you got back to your billet?
Mine never were, but if you wished, you could ask. And you could have them... I only ever had mine done once, and it was a ruse, actually. But wasn't there, it was later on in life.
When you were marching, were you encouraged to sing any old army songs?
At the beginning you weren't, because where we marched, you marched on the side of the road in a section of seven. You didn't march as a platoon in a group of three. Later on, when we got to Ushimua, that's when you start to learn the marching songs and you march in threes. But at Willington, there wasn't enough room in the streets to... Just as I say, you can imagine the town was full of soldiers, so you couldn't have them marching up and down all the time. So when you march, you had to march in the gutter in sections, one on one side of the road and one the other.
So after breakfast, as you say, you maybe do some weapon work.
Weapon work, drill, now, fitness.
What was the very first drill that they taught you?
Well, the very first thing was we got a rifle, and you spent the whole morning being explained about this rifle, how valuable it was, how expensive it was, and that it was your only friend, and... you know, there were sights to all, they had to learn the whole about your rifle. And then the corporal would bring in his rifle, which he'd had for years, very, very clean, and that was the standard you had to aim for. And these sort of cleaning jobs had to be done after tea before you were allowed out. If your rifle was to clean, it was to clean in your time, not the army time. Same with your boots and your brasses. You had to clean brasses just the same. But we, as I say, we didn't have a lot of equipment there. That all came later. As I say, I didn't have a full uniform for 4 or 5 weeks.
In that initial training, no doubt you were learning to turn right, turn left.
All the marching drills, all the...
Were they done from the very beginning at Wellington, were they done at light infantry pace?
Always done in the light infantry pace. 1-3, 1-3, steel.
And to numbers?
Always chanting numbers. This again was a board of people who lived opposite. These 36 people shouting out 1-3, 1-3, time after time.
How did the civilians of Wellington take to you? There were so many in the village, right?
Oh, wonderful. If you were unfortunate enough to be in Wellington at the weekend, if you got a fire duty or a guard to do, Sunday tea time, the Salvation Army opened its church hall, and it was full of meat pies, corned beef pies, and all free for the soldiers. And workmen's clubs, anybody wanted them. I never did drink, but you were automatic member, honorary member of the all working clubs wherever you were. Ushimo was the same. Cinemas would treat you fairly, and the people were good.
Did they respond to hearing sergeants and corporals screaming and swearing at you?
I never heard anybody. As I say, looking back, I don't think there were so many people out those days shopping. They shop once a week, where today they're going up and down the passenger all the time. But the men were at work and the women were at home inside.
So basic training that you were doing up to lunchtime, then you had your lunch. What kind of food would you get for lunch?
Well, a dinner, you know, it could be stew, it could be beef, it could be whatever the cook could make. Again, the cook, we were in a welfare hall. So he didn't have ovens. He had a lot to do in the ground. He had boilers. That was their main cooking utensil. So looking back, you couldn't blame the cook for what he had to work with.
And you'd be marched there for the meal?
Marched every time, and from
what,
every meal.
What time would this be for
you? Well, lunch was 12 o'clock. Till you got an hour, lunch 12 to 1.
Did you... Was it a cafeteria system?
Oh, no, no. You just, went to the Dixies. They were all dished out of Dixies, and you went to the tables.
And then they were dished out from the Dixies, were they?
Yes, yes. And you followed around, you know, and went to the tables and sat and ate them.
How did you keep your utensils clean when you finished with them?
Well, it was a bottle of water outside, and you just dumped them in, and that was it. And then you learned afterwards that a bit of sand and a bit of cold water would get the grease out. What, there was never any hot water or anything like that, not at Wellington or Ushimoa, nothing. It was Spartan, that's the only word I can say.
In the afternoon, what might you be doing?
Well, again, it would be doing marching drills, saluting, all the elementary to learn to be. They didn't see a soldier, they said a DLI. Their term always used to be, you've joined the Durham Light Infantry, but within 10 weeks you'll be seeing the Durham Light Infantry. You'll be proud of it as well. And the Sergeant Majors, when he had his parade, he used to put right what he thought was wrong. But he could come across and say, you're not doing this right, laddie. Or arm's length, you know, or you weren't turning your head far enough, or your rifle wasn't held right. But the sergeants and the corporals, it was all a holler with them. And as I say, they delighted in the one that was backward. I'm not saying mentally backward, but slow learners. And obviously there are some.
Did they give you talks about the history of Durham Light Infantry to build up this SD
depot? Not there, they didn't. No, no, but them had got them in Durham City when before we went away and left.
So you do this drill and basic training right through, as you say, to 4 o'clock when you got a tea.
Yes.
Which you mentioned would be bread.
Bread and jam, bread and cheese, or something. Sometimes.
Was there a canteen for you?
Oh no, no canteens, no naffies, no canteens, nothing. As I say, just what the people in Willington tried to do. There was one or two churches had the halls open and had a do. And you were always made very, very welcome. Your weekends were never dull or anything like that.
Did they take you into their homes from time to time?
Oh yes, one or two were invited into homes. Always.
After your tea, after 4 o'clock, when your training had finished for the day, you then went in, I think you said, to cleaning and,
yes,
and whatever.
Yes, yes.
And these pickets that you probably...
Yes. You were on a fire. And then at 6 o'clock, you were allowed to roll your bed out and could sit on them.
Kit inspections, were they coming in at this time?
They started in the middle of your course. You had to learn how to... As I say, fold your blankets square. Your mattress had to be rolled up first, and your bedding on top. And maybe on a Saturday morning, you would have a full kit inspection. You had to put everything on your bed. And then the usual saying was, one on, one at the wash, and one on the bed. You know, you're supposed to have three of everything. You know, one at the wash, one on, and one clean. Boot brushes had to be out, your housewife had to be out, your mess tins had to be out, knife, fork and spoon had to be clean. If you had them, spare boots had to be clean at the bottom of the bed.
Each had a place?
Yes, there was a routine. And
and who did the inspection?
Well, the sergeant. At odd times you got the sergeant major, which was a rather hard morning, because I suppose the sergeant was frightened of the sergeant major the same as I was frightened of the sergeant, because it had to be perfect for the sergeant major if he ever brought an officer.
Would you stand in attention beside the bed?
Oh yes, stand attention, or at ease till it was your turn to be inspector.
If they found anything wrong in your kit, what happened? Were you punished in some way?
Why, you could get confined to barracks for 2 nights, maybe. Or an extra guard duty. And if you'd lost anything, they usually used to say you had to pay for the one you lost and the one you were going to get. And the main item was your greatcoat, which I always remember was supposed to be worth £14. And mind, they were the best equipment we had. In my opinion, if you lost a one, you paid for the one you lost, and you paid for a new one.
Was there any stealing going on? People stealing from you?
Not in our platoon, no. I only ever met one do like that, and that was Tiverton. We got some Liverpool lads who were real tough guys, and were thieves, you could say, nothing else.
In the barrack room, what were the relationships like amongst the men?
Well, we were all right. But rather strange, I met two men who had lonely lives because they were brave enough to read the Bible every night. Despite what was said, they read a chapter of the Bible every night and said the prayers. A lad from Wales and a one from Fatfield, I think, Washington area. But they were brave enough to say to people, if you want to swear, swear, but don't bring it to me and leave me to do what I want to do. And I mean, I was the one, I didn't read the Bible, I didn't drink, so my army life, night time, was rather canteens or pictures. And odd times it was rather hard when you left isolated while everybody was out drinking.
Did these two men and others, were they bullied? Were anyone bullied in the unit?
No, I never knew anybody bullied. There was always I suppose the camaraderie was strong enough for us to stop the bullying. Once in the desert, going jumping forward, we had a man who stole all our iron rations, as we call them, to go and give himself up to the Germans. And he was going to buy his freedom with the route through the minefields. But he was caught up the desert. And now that man was tricked shamefully by everybody from the top to the bottom. They didn't put him in jail, they put him in a hole in the desert and left him there, covered him with dammit wire.
Remember his name?
Bell, I think. A man called Bell.
We'll probably come to it later.
Yes, that's what I mean, yes. Story.